10.6.
I think what he's suggesting in terms of acceleration and deceleration forces is reasonable.
Yeah. 2G sounds about right. Anything less than that and the track length's going to exceed the size of the site. And if you start getting close to 3G or beyond that, then that's probably going to be a bit too much for the average passenger.
I'd say so. His calculations for the total distance for acceleration and deceleration seem about right. The problem I have is with the length of the track. I think his 10-kilometre figure is OK for an ideal world scenario, but it doesn't leave much margin for error.
No, because at full speed you're going to be covering, what, a kilometre every 3 seconds? So if there's some kind of problem, you're going to be eating up the kilometres at a pretty frightening rate.
You can say that again. I think he'll need every kilometre of track length he can get on that site, plus some sort of emergency stopping facility at the end of the line, just in case.
Definitely, yeah.
Then, I don't know what you think about using wheels instead of skids.
Well, technically, it's feasible to build wheels capable of spinning at that sort of speed, because it's been done on land speed record cars. The only problem is, if you get a wheel failure at the kind of speeds we're talking about, the consequences are going to be unthinkable.
Yeah. I haven't calculated exactly what centrifugal forces they'd have to cope with, but for wheels of about 500 mil diameter at full speed, I worked out they'd be spinning at over 13,000 RPM.
Yeah, that's a lot. Plus, of course, skids should give better frictional resistance under braking.
Possibly.
Maybe not.
Well, the friction from wheel bearings spinning at that sort of speed might be higher. And the skids wouldn't be in permanent contact with the rails, don't forget. But anyway, I think skids are the only safe option.
I'd go for skids, definitely.
And then for the brakes. I think the first point is that for the initial deceleration, even without applying any brakes, the aerodynamic resistance is going to be huge. In fact, that alone might even exceed 2G for a short time.
Possibly. It'd depend how much drag there was. Which obviously depends on the bodywork design, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of a friction system against the rails. It would have to withstand a tremendous amount of heat.
Yeah, I think that's a non-starter at these kinds of speeds. Aerodynamic braking has got to be the best option. Possibly you could deploy flaps initially at top speed, then maybe release a parachute as a second stage. Yeah, maybe deploy the parachute at, I don't know, what sort of speeds do dragsters reach? They use parachutes, don't they? What do they do? 400 Ks?
A bit more, I think. 450, something like that. There's also the option of reverse engine thrust, like they use on aircraft.
In that case, though, you'd still need another system, in case you get an engine failure. But it's a possibility. I think the bottom line is that it needs a combination of systems to make it absolutely fail-safe.